A little tip, your phones. It is really good for your phones to turn them all the way off and let them reset. It clears their memory, it extends their life, it allows them to reset and become more focused on what they need to do. The same is true with us at worship. So if you could reach up and do your phone a favor and turn it completely off, when church is over, you can set it up and both you and your phone will be in better shape to deal with the week. So there's mine, the power's off. Our worship today will begin with a procession of palms. So if you could please put yourself into worship mode and enjoy the choir and the children.
Thank you.
If you think we were busy at Christmas, prepare to be surprised. This week is the noon Holy Week services that are held at First Methodist Church downtown. Across from the library, there is a list of the services that are there. This coming Thursday, is a Seder dinner downstairs in the fellowship hall. If you are wanting to attend that, you need to sign up outside of the pastor's office today, because we've got to shop and we've got to cook. It's going to be an incredibly moving service, I think, so I encourage you to come. Our prayer vigil is next Saturday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. There are still many, many slots that need to be filled for a half hour to come into the sanctuary and pray. If you look at this sheet and it looks like it's all full because the right-hand side has all names in it, those are the elders that are hosting the prayer vigil, not the congregation who's asked to come in and pray for a half hour. So don't be confused by the paperwork. We still need you. There will be an Easter egg hunt on Saturday at 10 a.m. Volunteers are needed to help the Easter bunny hide the eggs. And the youth are reminded to stay after church today for pizza and to help the Easter bunny stuff the eggs. Thank you to all of you who purchased candy for that purpose. Easter Sunday has a sunrise service with First Christian and First Methodist. It will be at the Three Crowns Golf Course at 6 a.m. There will also be chapel at 8:15, followed by a share and snack coffee fellowship. Instead of doing the coffee fellowship after church on Easter, we're doing it between the services on Easter. So bring something to share, and there will be no Sunday school that day. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and in honor of that, St. Mark's Episcopal is asking you to donate diapers that will be handed out to families in need the fourth Sunday of the month. And I think it's throughout the year. So they want to gather them now so they have them as the time goes out. Also, there is a special meeting of the elders on April 22nd, the day after Easter. The express purpose and only purpose of the elders meeting that day is to put together a list of nominees for our call committee for our new associate pastor that we hope to call soon. Keith, you had an announcement?
Good morning, everybody. I would just like to remind everybody that on April 28th, we are doing the crop walk. And if you wish to participate, we are doing it at 1 o'clock for registration and 1:30 when the walk starts. It's a 1 mile walk and a 5K walk run slash. And if you're not able to walk or unable to, we would definitely appreciate contributions. Debbie will be sitting outside after the service and if you want to sign up for the team, you are more than welcome to. We are trying to put together a good team this year, so please join us if you can and help out if you may. Thank you very much.
And Belle also has an announcement.
I would like to encourage everyone that you could to come to prayer vigil on Saturday morning. For Easter, for me, it's a very, very nice thing to do. I see it as a death watch. When Jesus was laid in the tomb, there wasn't many people right there by the tomb, but I imagine that there were many people in their homes praying. for him. And I like to come and pray, and I see it as a timeless moment that I can be in death watch too. And I pray, and I read scriptures, and I especially read the Psalms, because they're the same Psalms that Jesus read. They're very familiar to him. And I like to be encouraging to him, because that's the time he was most fully human to me, is when he was dead. And it didn't last. He did arise. And I just like to encourage him while he's dead. Thank you.
Thank you, Belle. Are there any other announcements? So I'd like to encourage you to stand, greet those around you, travel around the church, introduce yourself to somebody you don't know, celebrate how many amazing children we have in service today. There are faces I don't know. And then when we have come together as a congregation, then we will come back together as a congregation and sing hymn number 192, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Will you join me in the call to worship? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has given us light.
Bind the festal procession with branches up to the altar.
Let us shout with joy, Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna. Hosanna, glory to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, bring us into your presence. Reassure us that in the roller coaster that is our lives, Jesus walks with us. How could a man who experienced the glory of a triumphal entrance not understand our joy? How can a man who cleared the temple during Passover not understand our anger? How can a man who endured a trial by the Sanhedrin not understand when we are tried and convicted in the court of public opinion for being who we are? How can a God who was beaten and crucified not understand our pain and our grief? How can we not love the rabbi, the teacher, who endured all this to protect us from an even darker future? Fill us with the light of your presence. Teach us to be your people, as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. We'll sing the first and last verses. At this time, our children are invited to follow Mrs. Grooms and go for worship and wonder and the Young Disciples class. As the children are headed out of the sanctuary, I invite you to look on the back of the bulletin at the list of prayer concerns. Our card tower today is for David Riedel. David was in the hospital earlier in the week dealing with COPD. He is back home, but still needs prayers for healing and recovery. In the pew rack in front of you, you'll find a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank, so you can write a note to those people who need to know we're praying for them. Delilah, we're not doing children's time. Just go ahead and head to worship and wonder. She's used to the usual show, and today's a little different. We have other prayer concerns this week as well. Levi Ostrander will be headed to Denver this week. His cataract removal is scheduled for Thursday. So please pray for Phil and Becky and Levi as they head to Denver for that procedure, that all goes well and it improves Levi's eyesight. Please pray for Marie Robertson. She is in the hospital. She's recovering from a minor surgery and doing fairly well, but because of her age, she definitely needs prayers for health and strength and full recovery so she may return home soon. The missionary we're lifting in prayer today is Elena Huegel, who serves in Mexico. And our regional prayer partners, if you'd like to sign the sheet on the back table, are the members of First Christian Church in Rocky Ford and their pastor, John Dell. Are there others today that we want to pray for? Dan?
I was thinking about our children that we have in the area. With my nephew having a surgery, I'm having issues, and my brother's getting some issues, and he's getting in trouble, and suicides, and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. So I know
what's going on. Prayers for all the children and teens in our community, especially those who may be feeling bullied, who are struggling with depression, who are wrestling with drug addiction, who are facing challenging issues that many of us may not have had to cope with when we were young. Peer pressure and social media makes some teenage issues worse than ever before. We continue to pray for the family that lost a seventh grade student a week ago to suicide. Prayers for them and for kids whose parents may be facing a divorce, kids whose families are moving, when they change schools. All of those things are very stressful in the lives of young people. So please pray for children and teens who need God's love and grace. Thank you, Dan, for that concern. Are there others today? Way in the back, Jackie. Congratulations on the birth of Henry James, a new great-grandson for Jackie and Bob Cook. He was 7 pounds, 7 ounces. A delight to have a new little one in the family. Amber.
Prayers for the whole week, this week to go well and be meaningful.
Prayers for all the services that will be held in our community and around the world as Christians observe Holy Week and share the stories of Jesus with our neighbors and friends. Prayers that it will be a meaningful week for everyone who participates in many different ways. Let us bring all of these prayers to the Lord as we share a time of silence. Holy Lord Jesus, on this day we celebrate your triumphal entry into Jerusalem as we begin the Holy Week journey to tell the stories of your last week of life on earth. Lord Jesus, our world still needs you. On this day, we open our hearts that you might enter into our lives anew. We shout out to you, Hosanna. We sing your praises, and we long to live in ways that honor you always. O Christ, we pray for corners of this world where brokenness, darkness, and death hold sway. We eagerly await the coming of your kingdom, the full reign of God, and the glory of resurrection power. But in this moment, Lord, we are aware of our brokenness and our sin. We pray for ourselves and for the world in which we live, that you, O Jesus, might enter in again, that we might see in your coming a new kind of king, a different reign than this world knows. O Holy Healer, we pray for strength and wellness, for peace for all of those who are sick or suffering in any way. Bless David and Marie. Be with Levi and his parents as they travel for eye treatment. Bless children and teens in our community who face struggles that people around them may not even know. Oh God, give your courage to young ones, to parents and teachers, to mentors of all kinds, that the youth of our community may know they are cherished and loved, that they are important. Lord, we rejoice with Jackie and Bob at the birth of Henry James, and we pray your blessing upon his young life. As Holy Week dawns, we humbly ask, O God, that your Spirit would be present in the midst of worship around the world, as Christians in our community and on the other side of the globe gather to worship in many ways this week, in somber reflection, in foot washing and gazing upon the cross, and in joyous celebration next Sunday. Lord, we humbly ask that this Holy Week may indeed be holy. We pray for those who are seeking you and may not even know it. We pray for neighbors and friends and strangers down the street who know that something is missing in their life and they haven't yet found you, a source of hope and light, life and purpose. O Christ, equip those of us who know the good news of your resurrection and your saving power to share your story with others in this holy season. We pray for people like Elena Huegel and Pastor John Dell, who are called to proclaim your word and your glory in Rocky Ford and Mexico and in other places around the globe. O Jesus, enter again into our lives and hear our shouts of Hosanna. Hear our cries and receive our praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
I truly believe that the blessing God breathed into us at our creation is the ability to make and understand symbols. Without that ability, language and abstract thinking would be impossible. Without symbols, a wedding ring is just a chunk of metal. A flag is just a length of cloth. At communion, we use this gift from God to take the ordinary and allow God to infuse the bread and the wine into the extraordinary. It becomes for us the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord. Come, all followers of Christ, take the Lord into your body
and into your soul. If you would join us in hymn number 426, The Voices of Christ Calls His People.
Children and elders, men and women, whatever color, race, or tongue, in Jesus we find ourselves united, in Christ, a home where we belong. We hear your loving voice, O Jesus, we long, we hunger to be fed. In joy we gather at the table where you are wine and you are bread. As we come to this table on Palm Sunday, we are mindful of the week ahead. We reflect especially on Maundy Thursday, on Thursday night, remembered this week when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. And while they were there, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. All who hunger to know God's love in Christ are welcome to share this feast. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Today we open our hearts to you, God of the living Christ. We sing our hosannas. We cry for you to save us. Enter our lives and fill us with the joy of your presence. As we begin this week of remembrance of your passion and death, focus our attention so that we may go beyond the shallow praise to a deeper commitment. Give us the strength and courage to stay true to you in times of fear and temptation. Now we gather to break bread and to remember the price for which we have been bought. Now we gather to raise and drink from the cup and to remember the love that was poured out for us upon the cross. We thank you for bringing us here and pray that our lives will be transformed to your service. In Christ's living spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
As we look at the worship bulletin insert about the special Easter offering, we read the verse from John 15 that reminds us that we are the branches. We contribute to and benefit from many fruits of our shared work in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Most of us are familiar with at least some of the ministries that are highlighted: Disciples Women, National Benevolent Association, Disciples Home Missions, Global Ministries, Council on Christian Unity. Dozens of ministries are supported by this offering, which is being collected this week and next using the special offering envelopes in the pews. You are encouraged to find out more online at the website found at the bottom of the worship bulletin insert. We are the branches, and our offering and work for these shared ministries ensure that the vine of Christ will be as close as this local congregation and reaching around the globe. And I would just like to add that Terry Morrison has been awesome in helping us with global ministries as well as local ministries. And she has created a calendar that you'll find on the back and was handed out by the greeters this morning. And if you look on every week, there's a different person to pray for or a different organization to pray for. What is really cool about it is they give you a website to look it up to find out more about it and where different missions are going and that kind of thing. So I'd really encourage you to look at this and to do a little research on it, pray about it, and thank you very much.
I invite you to be cheerful givers as the deacons wait upon us. Our Lord, we are your heart and your hands upon this earth. Take the gifts of our heart and the labor of our hands and use them to recreate our world into your image. Amen.
Now, I'll be reading from the book of Psalms. You'll find that on page 565, should you like to read along in your pew Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Then we go down to the 19th verse, and that reads, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
Thank you, Peg. Our New Testament reading today, not surprisingly, tells the story of Palm Sunday. This year, we hear it as it is told in the Gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 19. In your Pew Bible New Testament, you can follow along on page 83. Luke 19, beginning at verse 29. When Jesus had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful music, and Donna, for your magnificent playing today. What a blessing your songs are for us on this Palm Sunday. Thank you also to Amber for working with the children on our processional today. Would you pray with me? O Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we remember and tell again the story of your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We pray as well that you would enter triumphantly into our hearts. We humbly ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit to grace us with wisdom as we reflect on the powerful stories of this day. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that our lives might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock, our Redeemer. Amen. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, the people shouted. If we look a little earlier in Luke than we have read today, chapter 19 begins with the story of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus. You remember that story, don't you? Zacchaeus was small of stature. In Jericho, Jesus had entered, and there was a crowd gathered around, so much so that the vertically challenged people could not see over the shoulders of those ahead of them. So Zacchaeus climbed a tree. The crowd continued to build and follow Jesus as he was making his way towards Jerusalem. Luke 19 goes on to share the story of Jesus telling a parable about those who were entrusted with talents, who were asked to be stewards of gifts. And some managed those gifts wisely and some did not. And then we have this encounter. When Jesus had come near Bethphage, the village of figs, and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples to round up a ride. Can you imagine if someone showed up on your driveway and decided to just borrow your car? I think you would go out front to see what was going on. Hey, excuse me here, what are you up to? How shocked we would be if they said to us, well, God needs it. We'll bring it back later. I wonder about the confusion of those owners of the donkey. We'll get there in a minute. Jericho is further east from Jerusalem than even Bethany and Bethphage, those villages he's passing through. From Jericho to Jerusalem, there is a rise in elevation of about 3,000 feet. Jesus and the disciples have been walking this whole way. They've had a long journey. Now, if Jesus were only looking for a ride because his feet were tired, it would make more sense for him to borrow a donkey way out in Jericho and have a break on the way to Jerusalem. Maybe round up a whole herd of steeds so all the apostles could ride too. Then they'd be fresh when they get to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. It's apparent that Jesus asking for this donkey is not because he's tired of walking. No, it's a very intentional and deliberate choice on his part in order to fulfill the prophecy we read of in the Hebrew scriptures. In Zechariah 9:9, we're told, "Oh, rejoice, daughters of Jerusalem. Celebrate, daughters of Zion, for your king is coming. See, your Messiah enters Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, on the foal of a donkey." So Jesus deliberately chooses this humble beast of burden to use as transportation to enter the holy city of Jerusalem. Jesus gives instructions, we're told, to two of his disciples to go and find the donkey he'll ride. He lays out specific directions on where to look for it, what will happen when they find it, and he tells them, if someone asks you, why are you untying it, just answer, the Lord needs it. Not surprisingly, it all unfolds just as Jesus said it would. The two go where he sent them. They find the young colt. They begin to untie it. And lo and behold, who shows up? According to Luke, the owners, the ones responsible for that little donkey. It's not some nosy neighbor who wants to know what the disciples are up to, but the owners of the donkey. They're the ones who say, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? Why are you untying my critter? Imagine, again, yourself, that confusion. Someone is in your driveway looking for the keys for your pickup, and you say, "Hey, what's up?" And their answer is, "The Lord needs it." What would your response be? This is an interesting exchange because the disciples say to the owners of the donkey, "The Lord needs it." There's a nuance in the Greek that gets lost when we translate into English. The word kurios, the Lord needs it. It indicates a possession just by the way the word is written. In other words, the disciples are saying to the owners of the donkey, "Its Lord needs it." Kurios, the Lord. The one who doesn't just own the donkey in the way you do, paying for its feed. The one who made the donkey, the Lord of the donkey, the Lord of the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, the Lord of all creation is the one who sent us to untie this animal. It is clear that God's ownership takes precedence over those who usually run that little donkey around town. Another interesting detail, it's an animal that has never been ridden before. It's young, perhaps shy and skitterish, hesitant. The disciples lead this little donkey to Jesus. It is very clear that he has deliberately chosen this animal. And what a strange choice that is. It's possible that at this exact moment, when Jesus is getting ready to ride a donkey into Jerusalem, on the other side of the city, another procession is lining up. Caesar, or Pontius Pilate, a Roman guard. Another parade is headed into Jerusalem. That one features a white steed, a mighty stallion. That's the kind of horse a king would ride. The Roman imperial guard is going to accompany in the political rulers because Passover is coming. And Jerusalem can be a hotbed of dispute with all those religious fanatics running around. The Romans will keep a tight watch on all that happens. So we have two parades. One majestic, dramatic, the other humble. A single man on a tiny donkey. There are interesting details in Luke's telling of the story. Did you notice that he said, they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. Here is this little critter who's never had anyone on its back, and the disciples gather around and lay their cloaks on the back, their coats, as if they're trying to make a makeshift saddle. You would think that Jesus, with all his foresight and foreknowledge, all of his almost seemingly prophetic powers to know where to find the donkey, you'd think he could also tell the disciples, by the way, there's a saddle shop just down the street. But instead, here's this little critter with coats draped on its back. And then the disciples set Jesus on it. He doesn't climb on board. They lift him up and put him on this animal's back. I wonder, is there something so deeply peaceful about Jesus the Messiah that even that animal knows, as long as I'm with Jesus, I'll be okay. No one else can ride me, but this man's nice. This man's holy. The donkey allows Jesus on his back, and away they go. They have come from Bethany and Bethphage over the Mount of Olives, a small hill to the east side of Jerusalem. They're headed down that hill through the Garden of Gethsemane and across the Kidron Valley up into the gates of the city. And as they begin that journey, Luke says, as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God. We're not just talking about the 12 apostles, the whole multitude. There is a crowd that has gathered around. You see, because Passover is coming in Jerusalem, Jews from near and far have traveled to the city. They are gathering for a holy celebration. Try to imagine with me how crowded Jerusalem might feel that day. In order to get us there, I invite you to remember Casper, Wyoming, August 2017. Do you remember? That's when the total solar eclipse came, and its path was right overhead, right above us. For months, the city was gearing up to welcome visitors. That date was marked on the calendar. Hotel rooms were booked far in advance at a premium price. People started renting out bedrooms to make some extra cash. Campgrounds were full. Grocery stores and restaurants alike stocked up on extra food for all the company that would be in town. People came from all over the world to experience the solar eclipse here in Casper. Remember how our population multiplied for that brief period of time? Remember ahead of time the excitement that was building, the energy in the community? There were some people who were thrilled it was happening, and some were a little bit fearful. Our church board had discussions about, what if someone wants to park a camper in the church parking lot? What do we do? The entire community was abuzz and felt the impact of extra crowds. That's how Jerusalem felt at Passover. Extra people were coming. There was not a room to be had. The inns were full, booked at a premium price. People rented out lodging to strangers so there'd be a place for them to sleep. Market stalls and what passed as restaurants alike gathered extra food to feed all those guests. There was a whole multitude of people coming to Jerusalem. And in the midst of that crowd is this strange parade of the carpenter from Nazareth riding on a cloak-covered donkey. All those pilgrims headed to Jerusalem for Passover were singing psalms, songs from the Hebrew scriptures, songs of ascent, songs of praise, songs that spoke of the journey to Jerusalem. One of the psalms would have been Psalm 118, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Open up the gates of righteousness that I may go in. Bind up the festal procession all the way to the horns of the altar." The crowd was already singing and chanting, "The King is coming." And then they looked, and there was Jesus right in their midst. Many in that gathering had seen him before. He was the one who had made the blind man see. He was the one who had made the lame to leap. Perhaps there were some in that crowd who had even eaten the very bread that Jesus broke when he multiplied the loaves and fed the multitude. They had heard him preach, they had heard him teach, and here he was headed to Jerusalem. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." In Greek and Aramaic, the word Hosanna is a shout of praise. Hosanna, praise ye the Lord. It comes, interestingly enough, from the Hebrew Hoshiana, which means save us. In Psalm 118, we hear the cry, "Save us, Lord, rescue us. We beseech you, save us, Hoshiana." This cry for salvation in the presence of Jesus Christ becomes a song of praise. Hosanna! Here is the Messiah, the one who will save us. That parade is making its way down the Mount of Olives. And in the midst of the shouts of the crowds, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the midst of all that hubbub and noise, we hear the sound of a donkey's hooves clip-clopping on stone. Even today, Israel is a stony place. Shepherds gather stones out of the fields where the sheep graze to form walls and enclosures around their pastures. The olive growers still till stones out of the olive fields, and they pile up markers to show which part of an olive grove belongs to which family. That pathway down from the Mount of Olives would have had a stony, rough road. And as the parade got closer to the city of Jerusalem, there were the stones, massive blocks that the Temple Mount was built out of. There were the stones of the wall of Jerusalem surrounding the gate Jesus would enter through. And that pathway was lined with stones. Stones everywhere. In the midst of the shouting crowd and the clip-clopping donkey, the Pharisees speak up. Teacher, they say. Others are calling him king, but they call him teacher. Order your disciples to stop. Stop this nonsense right now. Don't you know Rome is watching? Jerusalem is a hot keg during the Passover. Just stop your parade, Jesus. Go back. You and your friends can have Passover in Bethany. Just stop. Stop the shouting. The Romans might hear. The Pharisees are really afraid that if the people proclaim Jesus as king, it means their rule is over. They know that things will change. You see, for 3 years, people have been following Jesus and have been trying to call him king and Messiah. And every time they do, he shuts them down. He heals someone and then says, don't tell anybody. Just go show yourself to the priest. He casts out demons and the people who are healed say, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. And he says, be quiet. Don't tell anyone. After 3 years, Jesus has had a chance to reveal the kind of king he will be. It's very different than the king they wanted. They were hoping for a Messiah, a ruler who would oust the Romans, come in with power and might, perhaps even a little violence thrown in to take charge. But Jesus would be a different kind of king. He's not in the parade with the big white horse. He's riding the donkey. As a sign of the type of kingdom he embodies, a reign of peace, not of violence, a reign of humility and compassion, not one of power and might. When the people sing out on this day, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is finally hopeful that they get it. They understand the reign of God is unlike anything they've ever seen before. And so when the Pharisees say to him, teacher, make your disciples stop, his response is to say, if these were silent, even the stones will cry out. If the followers of God refuse to speak about God, all creation will speak of God. Throughout Scripture, there are many stories of different kinds of stones. One of the biggest stones in Egypt was actually the heart of Pharaoh. You remember when the Israelites were held captive as slaves? Moses came to Pharaoh and said, "The Lord Almighty asks you, let my people go." And time again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, as hard as cold stone. He would begin to loosen up a little and then change his mind and harden his heart again and again and again until finally God sent the spirit of death that passed over the homes of the Israelites marked with the blood of the Lamb and took instead the firstborn of Pharaoh himself. In that earthquake of grief, the stone-cold heart broke open, and Pharaoh said, "Get out, take those Israelites, and go worship your God far from here." And so the Hebrew children left and followed Moses even across the dried-up bed of the Red Sea. What about us today? Are there times when our hearts are as hard as stone? Are there times when we're skeptical? We want to believe, but we doubt and we harden our heart. Especially when you hear those fantastic, miraculous stories of Holy Week, crucifixion, resurrection. Who can believe that the human heart gets hard again? In the world around us, there are surely hardened hearts. Those who would exclude and seek power and rule by violence, even still today. Our world is filled with stony souls. Palm Sunday is a reminder of the good news that when Jesus enters into your life, even the stones will shout out in praise. Even the hardest heart can be split open by God's love. Psalm 118 tells us another kind of stone is Jesus himself. The stone that the chief builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And later in the week, we'll hear of a tomb and a giant stone rolled in front of it to seal in the body of the Messiah, Jesus. That stone itself also has a story to share, to tell of how it was rolled away by the power of life greater than death. But that story is for later in the week. This morning, may our lives cry out to the Lord, "Hosanna, Hoshiana. Save us, we praise you, Jesus Christ, who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today continues to sing the story of this day and this week. Right on in majesty. We'll sing together number 191, verses 1, 2, and 4. And as we do, I extend the invitation to those who are wanting to place their faith in Jesus Christ to come forward. We welcome new members here at First Christian Church by baptism, by confession of faith, and transfer of membership. If you want to make First Christian your church home, you're invited today to come forward and confess your faith as we stand and sing number 191.
Thank you.
congregation, please be seated. Over the past month, it has been my privilege to get to know some wonderful people a little bit better. We've had a membership class on Sunday mornings, and some of the participants are those who've joined church in the last year, but also in the rank were those who are brand new to our congregation. Two of those participants in the membership class come forward this morning to make their confessions of faith and to join our congregation. On my right is Victoria McGee. She will be baptized next Sunday. Many of you know her Aunt Carmen, and her mom is visiting worship with us today as well. It has been a delight to get to know Victoria, to read scriptures about baptism together, and to talk with one another about faith. Also coming forward today is Linda Fieser. Linda is familiar with our church. For many years, she has led a group of All-State students preparing for Girls All-State, and in the spring, they meet in our facility. Linda knows a lot of our quilters and others in the church, and God has very slowly and gently, over a long period of time, worked on Linda's heart to lead her here to make First Christian her church home. It is a privilege to introduce both of these wonderful women to the members of First Christian Church. Victoria, let me begin with you. As I extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship, let me ask you the question of faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Yes. God bless you in that statement of faith. Linda was baptized as an infant at First Presbyterian Church here in Casper, and that's been just a few years ago. So I ask you to reaffirm your faith, Linda. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you continue to proclaim him as your Lord and Savior? Yes. God bless you in that affirmation of faith. We will pray together, and then I will invite Linda and Victoria to join me at the back door to greet you as you leave the sanctuary. Also at the back door will be the children of the church, ready to hand out palm branches. We have plenty of palm leaves for everyone here who would like a palm to take home with you to remember the celebration and joy of this day. Our palms are sustainably harvested through the Eco Palms Project. Following the prayer, there's a time of refreshment and fellowship downstairs. We have coffee and snacks. I hope that you'll visit with one another and stay for a little while. If all hearts and minds are clear, please rise for the benediction. A loving and gracious God, we ask your blessing to be upon Linda and Victoria as they celebrate faith on this day. Continue to watch over their journeys, O Jesus, and walk beside them every day. Bless us all, Holy Lord, to rejoice, to cry out to you, Hosanna, throughout our lives. In word and in deed, may we proclaim our faith to you so that the stones don't have to sing because we do. In Christ's name, may we go forth in peace to live, to love, and to serve. Amen.